Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. Jezebel was one of the most evil women in the entire Bible and in the whole world. She was perhaps the worst enemy the Church of God has ever had. Elijah had to fight against her to do a powerful work. That's a quote from Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury in the May-June 2016 Royal Vision. In an article titled, The Elijah Work Confronting Jezebel. Now, maybe this is something we don't always think about when it comes to God's work, but there is an aspect of confrontation. We certainly don't go out of our way trying to confront people. That would be very off-putting, and it would alienate a lot of people from God unnecessarily. However, there are times where we just cannot allow the lies to be accepted as truth. We cannot allow people to trample on what God is doing. And so confrontation does become necessary. The prophet Elijah, doing God's work anciently in Israel during the time of this wicked queen Jezebel, is a powerful example of the right kind of confrontation. Elijah had a message from God to deliver, and he did it no matter the danger or the confrontation that awaited him. But here in 1 Kings 16, we see a description of just how wicked King Ahab and Queen Jezebel were. This is 1 Kings 16, starting in verse 29. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Eternal above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Eternal God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. So basically, Ahab was pretty wicked on his own, but then he made it even worse by actually marrying Jezebel, a Gentile pagan woman with abominable religious practices. Worshipping Baal went beyond simply praying to a statue. It involved child sacrifice, throwing babies into the fire to please their false god, a god who couldn't even hear them because he wasn't even real. So the prophet Elijah had to deliver a warning to these despicable rulers of Israel, King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, here in 1 Kings 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Eternal God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So basically, until the prophet Elijah said otherwise, Israel was going to suffer through a drought. Notice here the next chapter, 1 Kings 18, verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Eternal came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show yourself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Basically, this chapter continues to show how Israel was suffering. There was a sore famine in Samaria, the capital of that northern kingdom of Israel. Elijah went to Ahab in person to speak with him here in 1 Kings 18, verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Are you he that troubles Israel? And Elijah answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Eternal, and you have followed Balaam. Remember, Ahab didn't just follow his wife's example and take up Jezebel's false religion. He actively built altars and temples and groves for Baal worship in Israel. He was deliberately going this way, choosing this wrong lifestyle, serving this false god in the nation of the one true God. No wonder God was so mad at him. No wonder God sent a 3.5-year drought as a curse on the nation. Jezebel was a mass murderer of true prophets. She killed really any prophet she could get her hands on, probably dozens of them, if not more. And she really, really, really wanted to kill the prophet Elijah too. If she had a chance, she certainly would do it. Now, Elijah was a very impressive man. Here in 1 Kings 18, it explains how Elijah actually told King Ahab to gather the 450 prophets of Baal, the 400 prophets of the groves that eat at Jezebel's table, bring all 850 of these false prophets together for a challenge. Ahab actually obeyed Elijah, and he did gather these prophets, just like Elijah told him to do. Mr. Gerald Fleury has written a free booklet, The Former Prophets, which you can request at thetrumpet.com. You can read the book there as well. On page 217 of The Former Prophets, he writes, Elijah had real spiritual power and authority. He must have been obeying and serving God. He believed in God and followed God. This is so relevant to us today doing God's work, because we have witnessed an end time type of Elijah. He was on the world scene recently and died in 1986. That man was Herbert W. Armstrong, the founder of the Worldwide Church of God. He was an Elijah type. And today we are doing the Elijah work. The original Elijah in ancient Israel, the Elijah of Jesus Christ's day, John the Baptist, and the end time Elijah of our time, Herbert W. Armstrong. All three of these Elijahs taught the world about the true God family. Mr. Fleury explains in The Former Prophets that these three Elijahs explained God's government structure, how this government is in effect in God's church and soon will be in effect all over the world in the millennium. These three Elijahs declared the one true God. In fact, the name Elijah means, my God is God. That is what we declare in God's work today as we support Mr. Fleury delivering God's warning message. We declare, my God is God. Now, like I said, Elijah really did have a lot of power to be able to command Ahab to bring these false prophets together, 850 of them. And the challenge Elijah issued was, let's see which of our gods will consume our offering with fire from heaven. So they prepared an offering on top of some wood. They slaughtered some animals, put them up there on the wood. First, the prophets of Baal had their opportunity to cry out to their God. They screamed and cried for hours. Elijah actually mocked them. You can read about that in 1 Kings 18, verse 27. And then these crazy prophets even cut themselves, spilling their own blood to try to get Baal to answer them and to send fire from heaven to devour this sacrifice. It didn't work. Spoiler alert, it didn't work because Baal is not real. Now, Elijah, even to make the odds more against himself, actually decided to drench his offering with water and surround that offering with a trench of water so that no one could possibly be confused. No one could possibly say the fire is actually coming from underneath this wood. It's all a trick. And then Elijah offered an 18-second prayer. 1 Kings 18, verses 36 and 37. Elijah prayed this: Eternal God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Eternal, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Eternal God, and that you have turned their heart back again. Immediately, God, the one true God, sent down fire from heaven to consume the burnt offering, but also the wood and the stones and the dust and the water. Everything disappeared under this fire. And the people finally were jolted out of their sleep. Finally, they realized they had been engaging in false religious practices. This is actually the exact lesson Elijah was hoping the people would learn from all this. Notice here, 1 Kings 18, verse 21, before this miracle took place, Elijah actually said to them, "How long halt you between two opinions? If the Eternal be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Elijah said, you can't flip-flop. You can't have it both ways. You can't say you worship the true God, but also dabble in paganism. You can't have all these idols fouling up our land. The New Testament talks about that too. We, as true Christians, can't serve two masters. We can't have a divided focus in our worship, in our work. Today, idol worship is still very much a real problem. People don't necessarily always pray to a figurine to engage in idol worship, but they still can have all kinds of idols: money, fame, a job, a relationship, pleasures, anything that takes the place of the one true God in our minds and hearts, anything that we love more than God becomes an idol. We certainly are not guiltless in this area. So we also have to learn this lesson that Elijah was teaching to the people. Stop dividing your focus. Stop cheating on God. Page 218 of the Former Prophets. Mr. Fleury writes, again, Elijah means my God is God. Everything else is false religion. You see, that's the message we deliver. Don't you think that sometimes will lead to a confrontation? God tells us to get that message out there. When we say there's only one true God, there's only one true church, there's only one true prophet of God on earth today, a lot of people are going to disagree. A lot of other people with different beliefs are going to speak out against this message that's coming from God. And yet still, only one message can be right. All these conflicting churches cannot be right at the same time. God is God, and everything else is false religion. Page 218. We must tell people how to get focused spiritually and turn to God. As Mr. Fleury comments here, it does take courage to do what God tells us to do. When confrontation and persecution sometimes await us, indeed, we do need courage to do God's work, to support Mr. Fleury in delivering this message, even if sometimes that makes us stick out a little bit, or maybe draws undue attention to ourselves. Maybe we're persecuted for what we believe, perhaps for keeping the Sabbath, missing out on the office Christmas party, whatever it might be. But there is only one true God. He demands that we worship Him in a particular way. And everything else is false religion. It is that simple. There's no use getting philosophical about it or psychological about it. God is God. His way is right. There's a million other ways, and all of those ways are wrong. Page 220 of The Former Prophets. Mr. Fleury is basically saying what Elijah was saying here. Elijah was saying, I and I only am the prophet of the eternal. Most people would consider that incredible arrogance. What do you think all those other professing prophets thought about that statement? I don't suppose they liked Elijah too much, but the reality was Elijah was speaking the truth. Elijah means my God is God, and yours isn't. It was gutsy for Elijah to say that, but it was the truth. Amazing. Really, it is. For Elijah to stand up in front of an entire nation gone astray and to proclaim the one true God, even when he knew that Queen Jezebel might try to put him to death as a result, even when he knew that all the people of the nation had been tricked into this abominable false religion, Elijah still stood up and said, my God is God. What a marvelous example. What courage to do what was right. Now, once the people realized that they had been duped by this false religious system, when they saw God himself send fire from heaven to devour Elijah's sacrifice instead of the sacrifice of the Baal worshipers, these people fell on their faces and they proclaimed exactly what Elijah was saying all along. 1 Kings 18, verse 39. They said, the eternal, he is the God. The eternal, he is the God. And at that point, Elijah commanded the people to slaughter, to execute to put to death these 850 prophets of Baal, these false prophets who were defiling the nation with their spiritual filth. This obviously upset Jezebel even more. Jezebel put out a bounty on Elijah. Elijah had to run for his life, and at one point even asked God to let him die. You can see all this in 1 Kings 19. However, God sent an angel there to help him, to feed him, to give him water. And then God taught Elijah a precious lesson, a lesson about the still small voice. Now, that's something we'll get into another time. But really, God asked Elijah, are you listening to me? Do you realize the miracles I have performed for you and how I've always protected you as you have obeyed me? What would make you doubt me now? Why is your morale so low after this stunning nation-saving victory over the prophets of Baal? Don't fear Jezebel. Elijah learned in this cave about the still small voice. That's a subject for another time. But just remember, Elijah's message, my God is God and yours isn't. Plain and simple, that's the message of God's work today. People don't have to like it, but God certainly likes it. And that's the only thing that matters. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 12 p.m. Central Time.